Well, things might be on the up and up. The Golden State Warriors, if you look at the standings, are doing phenomenal. Draymond Green said some interesting things last week that Kylan Mills and I are going to touch on. Should be a fun show. Warriors are on the up and up, yet there's some drama behind the scenes. We'll break it all down next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by our new exciting sponsor, FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. You can follow Kylan Mills on all social media platforms, including Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter, at DogSurfRoadShow. Kylan, it's great to see you. What was your first reaction to the Warriors putting down that upstart Oklahoma City Thunder team in Oklahoma City, 128-120? Your reaction?
A great start to the road trip for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, this is a huge road stand. The Warriors have to figure out how to win games, not at Chase Center. I mean, that to me is the theme of the second half of the season, because you cannot win a championship being the worst team in the NBA on the road. So this to me is a really great sign. This Thunder team isn't a bad team. They've got a lot of really young talent. They've been winning recently. And so I think this was a huge win for the Warriors. I also think it was huge that the Warriors are back to just about full strength. This is something I tweeted out yesterday, and I was trying to go through like all the past injury reports to figure out if this was in fact the first time. If it wasn't the first time, it had to be close to the first time or one of the few times. The Warriors didn't have anyone on the injury report before yesterday's game, aside from Andre Iguodala. And I feel like at this point, like, Iguodala is just like a scratch. Like, I don't even know if he counts, you know, as far as the injury report goes, I just kind of assume. But, you know, to have
who's this
back,
Iguodala you're talking about? I only know of Azal.
Oh, my neck, my back, my neck and my back. Oh,
yeah, he should. Yes.
I love any opportunity to use that. No, that's so great. That's officially like the theme song of Andre Iguodala, and love Andre Iguodala personally, understand what he brings on the leadership side. But like, it is pretty crazy that he just doesn't ever play. But I do think it was really encouraging. So Andrew Wiggins coming back after his second illness in the last month. I mean, the poor guy has been through it since that adductor strain and then two non-COVID illnesses. He missed the last, I think, more than a week, maybe 8-9 days before he played yesterday. And so I think that was huge getting Andrew Wiggins back. We know Steph Curry dealt with injuries. He's back and looking back to himself. Jonathan Kuminga, Jamichael Green, you know, just a few weeks ago, the Warriors were hurting. And now I feel like they're finally back at full strength, or at least close to healthy at the right time. I mean, this is a time where the Warriors need to start some momentum. They need to start winning games on the road. They need to start building chemistry ahead of a postseason run. It's going to be here before we know it. Like, I can't believe tomorrow's February, and then it's like 2 months and we're going to be talking about postseason games. And the Warriors are doing exactly what they need to do at the right time and climbing the standings. I know we're going to talk about them now reaching that fifth spot, and the West continues to be wide open. So to me, this was a big, big, big momentum swing game. You know, the Nuggets are looming on the road. That's going to be a tough one. But if you can take 2 out of 3 on this road trip, I think the Warriors are in a good place.
Wholeheartedly agree. And you know, the defense on, even though Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did finish with 31 points, I feel like they gave him a lot of problems, especially in the first half. He only put up 2 3-point attempts and only made one of them in the process. The defense, I thought, was sound, even though they gave up 120 points. You know, let's take a quick look at the standings right now. When I did the post game show last night, the Warriors were all alone in fifth place, which is absolutely insane. Since the Warriors Thunder game, the Mavericks won their game. I think the Phoenix Suns won their game. So now there is a 3-way tie for fifth in the Western Conference, where the Warriors hold it because of win percentage. They have one less loss than the Mavericks and the Suns. You mentioned tomorrow is February 1st. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm moving tomorrow, as I'm sure people can imagine how much fun those kind of days are. So this might be the last time I have this background. Hopefully we'll be able to do a show tomorrow immediately following the game, but I don't know how the setup's going to be there. But what's your interpretation of the standings? I mean, how much are you reading into it? The Warriors right now, incredibly, are just a half game behind the Clippers for the fourth seed. And I mentioned last night, the Sacramento Kings just started looking out because right behind them and right behind that shiny beam they keep flashing into the sky is the Golden State Warriors, now just 2.5 games back. Is it worth reading into right now? The Western Conference, in my opinion, is in shambles, considering that, again, the third best team in the conference is 7 games above 500. The fourth best team is 3 games above 500. The Warriors at fifth are 2 games above 500. Is it a mess? Is this a sign of things to come? Should we read too much into it? Any interpretation of the standings to you?
I mean, it truly is the Wild West this season. I don't know how else to describe it because it is crazy. Shambles is a word that, you know, I like. I get it. I just think it's pretty wild to me. You look at the Warriors in the fifth spot and they're 8 games back of the Nuggets, down to the 12th spot, just 10 games back of the Nuggets. So there's just a 2-game differential from 5 to 12. And, you know, you look at a 3.5 game differential from 5 to 13. And then you do see a bit of a drop off with the Spurs and Rockets, but still, like, a 2-game swing and you could fall so far in the standings. I mean, I think it's going to make it interesting in how it's going to play out and how the playoff seeding is going to work, because right now it's wide open. There's so much parity and there is so little separating each team in the standings. This last stretch is going to be critical, critical, critical. And any given day, you have to show up. You know, a couple game losing streak can plummet you. And if you're not clicking at the right time going into the postseason, you could be out of it in the blink of an eye. So this next stretch and just the rest of the season from here on out is crucial because, you know, there's just very little room for error because of the way the West has been in shambles, as you described, all over the place. I mean, it's pretty wild, but that means there's very little margin for error.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What was the story? I saw you tweet about it. I'm not super familiar with the story itself, but what was the deal with Stephen Curry and some local player? Can you enlighten me on that? I saw you tweet it. Do you know the full story?
Yeah, so this was awesome. So reportedly, Steph Curry hosted Oklahoma Sooners guard Taylor Robinson at the game last night in Oklahoma City. He was seen taking pictures with her. You know, I think I tweeted out a video taken by Madeline Kenny, one of the Warriors beat writers. And Robertson just recently broke the NCAA Women's Division I single season 3-point record with her 498th triple, which she made against Iowa State over the weekend, I believe. So, you know, it just kind of worked out that she just did that over the weekend. She's a guard with the Oklahoma Sooners, which is located in Norman, just about 20 minutes or 25 minutes south of where the Thunder play. He invited her out to the game. You know, Steph's just one of, if not the greatest, 3-point shooter of all time across the board. So it just kind of worked out. How perfect that those two were in the same place right, you know, after she broke that record. So it was pretty cool to see Steph Curry. And this is what I tweeted out and why I think this got so much attention is just because this embodies how special Steph Curry truly is. He takes the time to lift up female athletes. He's not just talk. He's also action.
Yes.
He spent a ton of time with Robertson. He took pictures with her, talked with her. The videos are everywhere. You know, he went out of his way to try to lift her up. And that's something that he's done historically. Something I mentioned in my tweet is that Steph and Aisha Curry started a scholarship endowment at Davidson College to help lift up female athletes there. It's called, I think, the Steph Curry Initiative, Women's Sports Initiative, something along those lines. But in order to help, you know, female athletes in their financials in college and just to try to lift them up at Davidson, you know, it's something we've seen him do with the Curry brand. One player that he's mentored is AZ Fudd, the UConn guard, who's having an outstanding season, by the way. But, you know, she was the first Curry brand athlete that he signed. And he said that it was intentional and he wants to help pave the way for future female athletes. He said that Fudd is going to be the future in the WNBA and he wants to make sure he's lifting her up. And he's not just signing her. Like, for example, when the Warriors were in Boston at the NBA Finals out in the East Coast, Fudd was at the game. I can't remember. I was at the game 4, I think. AZ Fudd was there and he had her courtside and he was hanging out with her after the game and they worked out together, you know, so he just goes out of his way to specifically spend time and effort, you know, to really help lift up female athletes. So it's something I tweeted about just because I think it's really cool. You know, Steph Curry isn't just what he does on the court. He also is what he does off the court. And, you know, you don't see male athletes always taking the time to do things like this.
You're absolutely right. Steph is such a good dude. And here is Steph actually talking about that in post game, where I guess Taylor Robertson in her career, her first collegiate game, she hit 8 3-pointers and Steph had a monster game last night. I mean, he definitely led the way. I believe he was two rebounds short of a triple double. So here was Steph talking about last night's performance.
What was it like
hanging
out with Taylor?
Oh, it was great. The timing is crazy. Just knowing she just broke the record this week. And we're coming through town and she had a night off. No, she thinks she plays tomorrow, but pretty cool to see her celebrate her accomplishment. She made 8 threes in her first college game and I made 8 tonight. So it's kind of cool connection right there.
And that is a very cool connection. When we come back, I want to talk about James Wiseman, who DNP'd yet again. And I'm curious to know, Kylan, in your opinion, if you think the Warriors are going to trade him, if he's going to get another G League stint, who knows what's going to happen with Wiseman. Kerr was just averse to playing bigs altogether. I would love to talk about that next. And Draymond Green, he made some comments a week ago, which I have not played on the show yet. And we got to talk about that because it's very relevant to his present and future with the team. But first, got to give some love. Wow, thank you, Red Cell. Usually, Colin, you get all the love here when it comes to compliments. Thank you. I'll take that for once. I'm really flattered. Let's talk about FanDuel, the official sponsor of Locked On Warriors. And look, we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. They're really good at marketing. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Kylan, do you have an opinion on the Super Bowl? Any early predictions or thoughts on who's going to win?
It was a rough weekend in my house. All right, Cyrus, that 49ers game was absolutely brutal. My husband is a Cincinnati native and diehard Bengals fan, so watching that last kick go through was brutal. Initial thoughts on the Super Bowl, and like the sad thing is I just like don't want to cheer for either of these teams. I'm sorry, but I think Eagles fans are among the most obnoxious in sports. And then Kansas City, like I'm just sick of them winning. Like I don't know. So I wish I had a strong feeling one way or the other, but I just don't like either of these teams. I'm sorry. Yeah. Who do I think wins? I don't know.
I think the Chiefs are going to win. I'm very confident.
I'm leaning towards Chiefs as well, but I just don't want to see them win. So I just, whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I'm really, and the weird thing is the line right now, I haven't looked, but moments after the AFC championship ended, it was going back and forth between the Eagles being favored, the Chiefs being favored. That just tells you that even the entire country is divided in terms of who's going to win this game. But you can get in on all that action. Join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. After us, go check out Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Kylan Mills is available on social media at Kylan Mills, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Definitely go check out some great content there. So James Wiseman, A DNP. There were quite a few DNPs in that game, actually. Wiseman was DNP'd. Jamichael Green was DNP'd. I feel like they could have used him. Patrick Baldwin Jr. was DNP'd. I feel like they really could have used him, not only for his size, but because of how efficient of a three-point shooter he is. He's lethal from deep. And then, of course, Moses Moody, not a surprise. The only downside to that is why call him up from Santa Cruz if you're planning on just DNPing the guy again? And then Wiseman, as I mentioned a moment ago, what do you think the future holds for James Wiseman with the Warriors? Is he going to get traded? I feel like the writing on the wall indicates he is, and that it seems like they're saving him more than anything at this point, because an injured James Wiseman has no value, but he also might play. I have no idea. Do you have any idea, Kylan? And if not, do you at least have any opinions on it?
It's a toss-up. I mean, the Warriors for the last several seasons have been riding this whole narrative that they believe in James Wiseman. They think it's coming. They want to support him as he battles through injuries, and they believe he'll come out the other side and be a strong NBA player. But as of late, I just feel like that narrative has shifted. Now that he's back and he's healthy, I know he once again was out again with a short-term injury in the last month. Getting DNPs just isn't helping him. It's not helping the team. It's a little bit baffling to me. I say send James Wiseman to the G League. I just feel like get him reps, get him time, and continue to build the confidence, because at this point, sitting on the bench, you know, just not playing is not doing him or the Warriors any favors. I wouldn't be shocked if he was in trade discussions. And now, you know, something we've talked about is how serious are the Warriors looking to make a trade? And that I just don't necessarily feel sold on, just because of the history of Bob Myers making acquisitions before the trade deadline and you know, where they allegedly feel like this team is at. I mean, the front office has said they feel like they don't need to add any big pieces. So because of that, I feel like it's still a long shot for them to make a major move. If they were going to make a move, I do think that James Wiseman would be involved and would be a trade piece on the chopping block. Yeah. If not, and if he doesn't get traded, like, put him in the G League, dude. Like, that's what I'm advocating for at this point. Like, if you're not going to play him, let him play in the G League. Or, I mean, I'm not opposed to trading him at this point. Let him play somewhere else. I just don't think that sitting on the bench is doing Wiseman or the team any favors, and it sucks.
Agreed. I wholeheartedly agree. For lack of better
words, you know?
And that's part of what makes me think maybe he's on the trading block, just because the fact that he's not being sent to the G League tells me they don't want him to get hurt. And because, again, that just will kill his trade value. So we'll see what happens. It is a mystery. And honestly, like, the biggest reason why I'm an advocate for, at a minimum, playing Jamichael Green is just to give Draymond some rest, right? I mean, I know he didn't play super heavy minutes. He had 31 in last night's game, but they were killed on the glass. In terms of rebounding, they were out-rebounded. Well, actually, they were not out-rebounded, but there was points in the paint I was looking at. They were practically even in rebounding, 44-43. In fact, the Warriors led, but points in the paint. And this is where having Jamichael as someone who's 6'8", Wiseman as someone who's 7'1", the Warriors lost the points in the points in the paint battle, 54-46. And it's just the wear and tear. I mean, I feel like you want fresh bodies for the postseason. And then this leads now to Draymond Green, who was on Stephen A. Smith's podcast last week. And he's been saying a lot of interesting things. Sorry about this damn gnat or fly or whatever is getting in here. But so Draymond was talking to Stephen A. Smith, and I thought he showed interesting self-awareness. And he also revealed his future. I just loved everything about this cut, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, Island. Here was Draymond Green on Stephen A. Smith's show.
It's become more and more evident to me that 15 is the right number. Reason being, Stephen A., I've talked so much shit to so many guys on a basketball court. I can't be one of the guys lagging around at the end of my career, lagging, like, yo, I'm just out here collecting the check. I can't be that guy, because everything that I've dished out is going to come right back. And so I don't want to be one of those guys that's like just still around. And I feel like I know for sure I got 4 great years left in the body.
So he made it very clear that he wants to play 15 years, and he also made it clear before the season started that he wants a max contract extension. He wanted 4 more years just like what he said here on the clip. I love the fact that he doesn't want to get ridiculed. He doesn't want to be a hypocrite for all the trash talking he does to have it come back his way when he's an old player. But he seems very confident that he can play until he's 37 at peak optimal performance. Your thoughts on that clip, Kylan? And do you think Draymond Green is going to be a Warrior at least until 37 or the rest of his career? Your thoughts?
The part about Draymond Green being a Warrior is the part that I think is the most difficult for me to answer right now because of all of the talk and the antics that have gone on leading up to, you know, the approaching end of his contract and the player option. I mean, because we talked about the other quote where he says the writing's on the wall,
yes.
You know, and it would make it seem that Draymond believes that he's leaving. He's not going to be with the organization. There also was the offseason talk about Draymond supposedly wanting a max extension and Steph Curry wanting the Warriors to extend that. Well, some of the counter reports were that the Warriors weren't going to give it to him. So I think that the contract situation is totally up in the air and it's anybody's guess as to where that stands. In regards to Draymond playing 15 years, four more years, I will say that he has held up more this season than I thought he was going to leading into the season. He dealt with that lower back injury that, you know, resulted in calf pain and had some complications last season. He's getting up there in age and he's not a player who's a finesse or skill player or a shooter like Steph or Clay to where you would expect their game to be able to extend a little bit longer. You know, Draymond Green is more of that physical presence. So if anything, you would expect that to leave more wear and tear on his body. All that being said, I think Draymond Green has been fantastic this season. I haven't seen any drop off in his play. Like I said, he has surprised me a little bit, I think, with how reliable he's been this season. He hasn't dealt with any serious injuries. He's been able to play. Obviously, the Warriors have looked for opportunities to rest him in back-to-backs or, you know, times where they're resting a lot of their vets. But in general, he has been able to weather the storm and you know, been able to put up with the toll on his body, and he hasn't been hurt. So I think if this season is an indication, I could see Draymond Green playing three or four more seasons at a high level. However, I do like the self-awareness from Draymond to say, hey, I don't want to be one of these old heads playing forever, well past his prime or his time, Andre. I'm just teasing. No H on Andre Iguodala, but, but I think that is cool to hear the self-awareness that he's like, hey, I don't want to be just lingering around forever and be that old head who's, you know, just at the bottom of a roster. I want to play while I am playing at my prime. And I do think based on what we've seen this season, Draymond Green could have a few more years of that. You know, so that's exciting. Will it be as a Warrior? That I don't know. And I don't feel confident about.
Yeah. You know, it's and John Overton, for example, you write, 4 great years left, but his game will fall off a cliff, right, Cyrus? You know, and it might, it still might. I mean, he's 33 years old.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah. He turns 34 this year. His birthday actually is, March 4th. So he's going to turn, he turns 33 on March 4th. It's just a matter of, it is a matter of when, in my humble opinion. And that's why I did say earlier this season, look, I love Draymond. This dynasty does not exist without him. They don't win the 4 championships without him. He is the, in my opinion, one of the 3 greatest defenders in the history of the game. And when we come back, I'll highlight some of his offensive numbers as well. But if the Warriors aren't going to pay him, his value right now is still sky high. You have to wonder, like, do you just lose him for nothing? And are you okay with that? Are the Warriors actually going to spend the money to keep him for the rest of his career? We will touch on all that and so much more. Is today Tuesday? Oh, we actually have no more sponsors for the day, so we can touch on that now. Never mind. My apologies for that. I was teasing something that was completely unnecessary. Look, he has the Oklahoma City Thunder to me. I'm going to revert back to them for a second, and I'll explain why. The Thunder have an incredibly young core right now, like Josh Giddey, right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you see the 2 Jalen Williams. Yeah. We haven't even talked about what's his name? I'm drawing a blank on the number 2 pick who got hurt and isn't even playing right now. He will be back next year. They have a lot of talent. The Oklahoma City Thunder are also a very small market team. You talked about Norman, Oklahoma. A town I love, by the way. I went there many years ago back when I was executive producing the Kane Bureau Morning Show. My great friend Chris Townsend and I, we did a bit along with the rest of the show where we flew to Tulsa, Oklahoma, did a show from this bar called the It'll Do. I kid you not, that was the name of the bar. So when they answered the phone, we were doing this bit on the morning show where we call them. Every time they answer the phone, they go, It'll Do. That was the name of the show. And they have these really thick Southern accents. They're chain smokers. So it turned into a bit. we did a show from this bar in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then Chris Townsend and I stayed, went to Norman, got press credentials, saw an OU game, football game while roaming the sidelines with Jack Daniels and our big cups of Coke. It was a phenomenal experience. Highly recommended. Norman, Oklahoma is absolutely all about Barry Switzer, Brian Bosworth. Every OU legend has a statue there, is acknowledged there. It's a fun town. That's also a very small market team. So when the CBA is being renegotiated, and there, it's happening right now, right? Like, there's going to be a new collective bargaining agreement coming soon. And we've heard whispers of this for a long time, that maybe they're going to stop penalizing teams for their own draft picks, right? The Warriors' luxury tax is based largely on their own draft picks and how they're paying this ridiculous tax just because they draft smart, right? Well, there's some small market teams that are starting to do that now too. And I'm really hoping that with this next CBA, they're going to correct things so that teams are no longer penalized for these draft picks. And if that happens, I think Draymond Green will be a Warrior for life, because then you're not worrying about luxury tax penalties for giving him that four-year extension. You could give him the max and you're still saving money versus what you're paying now, because right now every dollar they spend, it's about $7-$8 added on to that for luxury tax penalties. That's why, for example, Anthony Lamb may not get a guaranteed deal, even though I support it. I mean, Kerr loves him. He's worthy of being on this team, but it's also going to cost Lacob, on top of the guaranteed money of his contract, 7 to 8 times that because of these ridiculous luxury tax penalties. So I don't know if Anthony Lamb's going to stay, and I also don't know if Draymond Green will stay if the CBA is not revised. I really hope it is, and if it is, I think Draymond Green stays. But Kylan, if the CBA is not revitalized or remodeled so that draft picks are not penalized, and let's say Draymond Green after the season decides not to exercise his player option and he's an unrestricted free agent and he walks, like, are you okay with the Warriors doing nothing right now and then letting Draymond Green just walk away for nothing? Your thoughts on that?
I mean, no, I don't think you'd want to let Draymond Green go for nothing, but I also think that the Warriors should make an effort to keep Draymond Green here and to re-sign him. I think that based on the way he's playing with Steph Curry, and the Warriors have said this in the past, you've heard it out of Bob Myers and Joe Lacob's mouth, that they want to ride this dynasty into the sunset or as long as they can. If Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, those three are still playing well together, why break that up before they need to? Now, like you mentioned, a new CBA absolutely would pave the way for that, because the Warriors wouldn't be as worried about luxury tax. But also, to me, a little bit of this falls on Draymond. Like, I think Draymond may have to be willing to take a pay cut or to give up on his dream of a max extension and be willing to take a little bit less money to keep the dynasty together and to try to run it back with the Warriors, regardless of what the outcome is this season and the postseason. I still think the Warriors have a lot of the pieces in place to continue to be competitive for the next couple seasons. And so I think the Warriors should make an effort to keep Draymond Green. I like the way he's played this year. Several people mentioned in the comments, well, yeah, it's a contract year. Of course, Draymond's playing great. As soon as he signs, he's going to be injured, this, that, and the other. According to Draymond himself, contract years don't affect him. He's been in this league long enough to where he says, at least, that that's something that isn't a factor in his play. He doesn't worry about it. He doesn't stress about it as much as maybe a young player would. You know, how much of that is true, you can decide. But, you know, I think that the Warriors would be smart to keep Draymond. I don't want to see him go. I think that the continuity they have right now is critical for the Warriors. I think Dre maybe needs to humble himself a little bit and steer away from that max extension he maybe wants and be willing to take what the Warriors can offer, regardless of what happens with the CBA. At least that's what I would like to see happen. And like I said, I just think with this core three, the Warriors do still have a couple more years. I know they're getting up there in age, but they do have a couple more years where those three players can be competitive. And I just hate, like, you know, if you watch The Last Dance and you know, you see what happened with the Bulls, where I think it was broken up too soon. I just would hate to see that happen with the Warriors and to see Draymond go somewhere else. And, you know, at the end of the day, if he goes, I do think that the look of the Warriors completely changes.
Yeah. And this new CBA is going to really, I think, dictate a lot. Maybe the Warriors know something and that's why they're moving ahead the way they are. But you know, they already extended the deadline for the CBA renegotiation to February, which is tomorrow, kind of, which is really crazy. And I really do also think that if Draymond Green decides to become a free agent after this year, he will have suitors. I see in the chat, for example, people mentioning the Sacramento Kings, Draymond reuniting with Mike Brown. Absolute possibility. I could see Draymond Green going to the Lakers, who will have cap space, and him and LeBron are obviously buddy buddies. I could see him going to his hometown Detroit Pistons and being a mentor for all the young talent there and getting a massive amount of money from them. So I do think there are teams out there who would take the risk on an aging Draymond Green just because he still has some juice left in the tank. And yeah, and Bruce and everyone else, you're right. The Lakers are they're a clutch brand. Draymond is represented by clutch. So we'll see what happens. And wrapping the show up, the Warriors, they play the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow in Minnesota. I always love those games because Andrew Wiggins, who had a fabulous performance yesterday in Oklahoma City Thunder. It was the first time in a while we've seen the old Andrew Wiggins. He really rises when he plays his old team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. He lights it up. So I'm really excited to see that. Did you see that report, by the way, about Anthony Edwards, how like he still eats pure garbage? Like he's just a, it's crazy. He's like, it's like, dude, you have the potential to be one of the greatest players in this game. And you're stuffing McDonald's in your mouth. You're stuffing like candy bars. And I forgot what the candy was specifically, but yeah, it's really crazy. It's really crazy. But I want to play this soundbite from Steph Curry, because the topic of load management has really been brought up this year in lieu of the fact that the Warriors routinely bench a lot of players in the second half of back-to-backs. They're not the only ones. A lot of teams do that. And it really robs the fans, right? I mean, imagine for example, the Warriors are going to be in Denver Thursday for the second half of a back-to-back. And if you're a fan who's paying a lot of money to go see Steph and Clay and everyone else only to see him benched, that sucks, right? So here is Steph talking about that. He was asked about load management. And Steph had an interesting take because he said he never asks for it and that the burden of load management does not necessarily fall on the player. I guess every case is different, but here's Steph.
I usually campaign to play every game, so that's the misconception about load management and how I usually campaign to play every game. So that's the misconception about load management and how it goes. It's never the player that's usually saying, hey, I want to sit. So for all those people that are worried about that part of our league and all that, it's usually not the player that's going to the training staff and saying, hey, I don't have it tonight. It's usually the other way around. And there's a lot of science involved. So yes, I will campaign to play, but we'll see how it goes.
Yes, Steph, you can tell he just loves the game. What do you think is going to happen these next two games? They play Minnesota Wednesday. When we reunite for our Friday show, these two games will have been passed, and they're going to be either home or on the way home. What do you envision happening Wednesday and Thursday for the Golden State Warriors?
I'm really, 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 really hoping the Warriors can somehow pull out a victory against the Timberwolves. I think that's going to be a tough game, but I do think that more importantly is the matchup following it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some load management being a factor in that one. Outside though, I do want to bring up one other subject before we go.
Please.
You've got to sign off here in a second. Yep. Is I would love people to drop a comment, drop a line on YouTube, whatever, as to what you think about the roster for the NBA Rising Stars game, because a lot of Dubs fans are upset that Jonathan Kuminga was not selected. And I've seen that mentioned on social media. That was a snub. So I'm very curious if you have any thoughts on Jonathan Kuminga being left off the Rising Stars roster. It's a little bit of deja vu to last year. He got left off as a rookie, ended up being added on when someone else got scratched or hurt. So the NBA corrected their mistake. This time around, I think it's an interesting issue because if you look at the actual numbers for all the NBA sophomores who made it, everyone is putting up bigger numbers than Kuminga. But then you have to look at the teams that they're on. You know, Franz Wagner being on the Magic, of course, he's putting up bigger numbers than Kuminga. Kuminga's on a defending title team. So I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to see maybe some of the adverse effects for the youngsters of being on the Golden State Warriors. They're learning from champions. They're potentially winning titles earlier in their career. But also, you know, could this affect potential contracts and getting a bag down the line because they're not putting up those big stats of the youngsters on some of these up and coming teams or lower tier teams? Interesting discussion. Like I said, would love to hear what people think.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And if you're watching on YouTube, the list is out right now. I don't understand why The NBA sophomores have 10 players while the rookies have 11. If anyone has any insights on that, let us know. But the roster for the NBA sophomores is Jose Alvarado, Scotty Barnes, Josh Giddey, Jalen Green, Quinton Grimes, Bones Highland, Evan Mobley, Trey Murphy III, Sengun with Houston, and Franz Wagner with the Orlando Magic. I mean, look, first of all, again, there's 10 players for the sophomore team, 11 for the rookies. So why couldn't you have made the 11th player, Jonathan Kuminga? And a few of these players, I'm sorry, but I do think Kuminga deserves it over Quinton Grimes, over Bones Highland. I don't think the Pelicans need to have two players on the team. Trey Murphy III, sit down. I agree. It's absurd. You know, Sengun's actually been playing good ball, you know, because Bruce Morrow just said Sengun, really. But I'm with you. I think that's a travesty. Get Jonathan Kuminga into the game. I wouldn't have minded Jonathan Kuminga, in all honesty, participating in the slam dunk contest. I feel like he could rock that thing. Yeah, that's a shame. That is an absolute shame. Well, regardless, we'll be back at it soon. Again, I'm moving tomorrow. If you folks understand how torturous of an experience that is, you will hopefully have some compassion if we don't have a show tomorrow night. But hopefully I'll be back at it at my new house with a post game for the Warriors and the Timberwolves. Again, expect a huge game from Andrew Wiggins. If you're a Prize Picks player and Andrew Wiggins is listed there, bet the over on that. That's what I would strongly recommend. Anything else before we go, Colin? Did we forget anything?
Good luck with your move, Si. You got a lot going on right now, so hope it goes smoothly.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, as always, for tuning in. Again, follow Kylan Mills on all social media platforms at Kylan Mills. You can follow me on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow and this program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Let's go, Warriors, again. The standings, they're in fifth. This Western Conference is crazy. Kylan, thank you, as always. Thank you, everyone, for watching.